Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What does producer Pete need to know about After Hours? Well, he needs to know the host is no longer a closet Backstreet Boys fan. No, I'm just out there loud and proud about the Backstreet Boys. Although it's a little weird to see them now as old as they are. They're not boys anymore. So Backstreet Boys belies that they're a boy band. They were a boy band. They're still very popular in Europe and other parts of the world.
Well, they are larger than life.
They definitely are not the same. So it's a different look altogether, but the original music is the same. I feel the same way about Britney Spears. When there's a headline about Britney Spears ever in the last 5 years, it's negative, it's bad. But she's definitely been through a lot, and it's certainly affected her. And then you see this cute little pixie dancing around, "Hit Me Baby One More Time," and it's like, wow. Or you see the video of her and Justin Timberlake going back to when they were on the Mickey Mouse, whatever that show was. What was the show on Disney where all these like now actors and actresses started out?
I want to say Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, but that's, I think, a cartoon because my son watches it all the time. So let's just say something like that.
Something along those lines where all of these young tweens, they dance, they perform, da-da-da-da-da. It was a kind of a musical variety show, I think. And yeah, so many of them went on to have great careers. But also, as we've found out, many of them have dealt with lots of other issues as adults, maybe because of the fame or the money or the attention or the pressure on them when they were younger. It's one of the reasons, just as a side note, why I'm not a huge fan of the Little League World Series being on TV. I think the event itself is terrific, but I think we should let kids enjoy being kids without having to put their games on TV. And of course, they would tell you, oh, we love this. It's amazing. We're famous. It just, to me, it changes the tenor, it changes the spirit, it changes the atmosphere around these games and certainly changes it for the kids in ways that aren't always positive. But that's just my two cents. You don't have to agree. In fact, the world would be really boring if we all agreed. Something else that producer Pete needs to know, I encourage dissent.
Well, we disagreed about Belichick and the Cowboys. That was today's disagreement.
Yeah. I mean, we have to see how it goes. I actually think Mike McCarthy's doing a good job. And I think that the success they've had right now, because of some of their exits from the playoffs, the success is being overlooked or discounted. But be careful. The devil you know, the devil you don't know. If not him, then who? Of course, if it's Bill Belichick, I don't think anybody would be complaining. We'll get to some QB news coming up in 15 minutes here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence, the Infinity Sports Network, and beyond. While we're talking about cartoons or something, something. Love all the answers we're getting. You're awake and you are full of anticipation for the NFL season, which kicks off in mere hours. You guys, we're talking 16 hours, right? Because it's just after 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific time, although the game is in Kansas City, which is Central time. So it kicks off just after 7 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock local. Uh-huh. We're almost there. And then the rat race begins. Actually, I don't like any type of cliche that involves rats anymore, because in the last 12 years, I've seen far too many in the New York City area, which is where our headquarters are located, if you don't know. Yeah, it freaks me out. Even when I'm safely ensconced in Princess Leia, I still get freaked out by seeing a rat as large as a squirrel scurry across the street in front of my car. Oh, it freaks me out.
Or a family.
Have you? I've actually never seen a family. I've only ever seen individual rats, but I'm sure they have families lurking elsewhere. So the worst is when there's one on the street who it maybe runs from a trash can, because they don't like people, obviously. They're not trying to have personal encounters with humans. So they scurry under things. But the worst is when you get near the door or you get out of your car and one goes running underneath another car. Oh my gosh, it freaks me out. It's involuntary. Ah! Or something along those lines.
It's involuntary. Get back in the car for a little while.
Just and then, wait. Lock yourself in there.
That's right.
Just so the rat can't get to you. Oh my gosh. It wasn't a rat, but it was a dead carcass of a squirrel, I think. But it freaked me out for a little bit until I figured out what it was in my yard when I first bought the house. It happened 3 times in the first summer that I bought the house. I must be in the flight path of the hawks that are above the house, because it seriously happened 3 times. Carcasses of animals dropped, one a bird, a smaller bird dropped into my yard for me to dispose of. And at one point I thought it was a rat, as it turned out to be a squirrel, which I'm not sure is much better, but still, yeah, it was gross the first year that I had to deal with it. So I guess that's just where the hawks go, or the other birds of prey go, is right over my yard. And they have to time it perfectly to drop it down into my yard.
Yeah, animal destruction is not on the radar of myself. If there was any rats or any mice that were a family of them located near my house, I'd grab fire or call somebody.
Fire. I don't think you want to have fire anywhere near your house. I will tell you, the first year, and I've told these stories before on the air, but the first year that I was renting in the town where I live, I was renting a home that did not have a garage door that was flush on the pavement. So the home was starting to be in disrepair, and the guy didn't really want to fix anything. But this was the biggest issue, is that the garage door didn't land all the way down. The pavement was broken up, and so field mice could easily get in underneath the door of the garage. And once they were in the garage, they could easily get into the house. And so I remember the first winter that I was there, yeah, it freaked me out pretty badly. Now, I have a cat. Well, at the time, I had two. One would run and hide. The other one, she's a mouser. She's now 16, but she still can hear. I haven't had any in my new house, thank goodness. In 4 years, not a sign.
Knock on wood.
I've got some, I don't know if that works. I've got some home remedies that are apparently guaranteed to keep mice away from your stuff.
Lavender.
But I also, no, actually mint. Mint tea leaves.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I've got them all over my house. But I don't have a basement. I don't have a garage. The house is sealed, so whatever. Anyway, going back to the house that I used to live in, there were families of mice all over the place. And so I tried a bunch of different things. I tried the traps underneath the sink. I would hear them go off. I had to get an exterminator because they were in the attic and I could hear them running above my head. Oh. Yeah, no, it was awful. I mean, they're harmless, but still, it's kind of a creepy little sound. But the thing that actually worked was the cat. I mean, she would play with them and she would just amuse herself until they couldn't, you know, they're kind of dazed, they couldn't run anymore, and then she'd just get bored with them and leave them. And so that was actually how she would leave them for me, and I'd have to go scoop them up, but they would just be looking at me. They couldn't really run anymore because they were so dizzy and confused. And so a few times I had to scoop them up in a towel or in a shirt and dump them outside. Yeah, one time, this is actually in the middle of winter. This is winter in New Jersey, so it was cold. Yeah, this is hysterical. It was the first time it happened, and I was so freaked out. So I hear the cat making these kind of meow, 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 noises while I'm taking a nap. That's what I wake up to. And the house is dark, and I'm a little freaked out because I can't figure out why she's making those noises. I flip on the light, and I can see her playing with a mouse. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, I'm not getting out of this bed. I'm not getting out of this bed because I was taking a nap, right? So I hear her fooling around with the mouse, and I'm like, all right, I got to get up. I got to get some shoes. I can do this. So I get up, I go downstairs, I get socks and shoes. I come back upstairs. The cat's kind of done with, well, I come back up the stairs. The cat's sitting at the top of the stairs, no mouse. Like, you got to be kidding me. Where's the mouse, right? So I go into my bedroom. The mouse is just sitting right in the middle of the floor. It's not dead, but it, like I said, it's probably dazed and confused. So I have a shirt. All I have within reach is a shirt that's sitting on it's draped over the bedpost of my bed. I grab the shirt while I'm like, trying not to scream and scare the mouse. I scoop up the mouse in my shirt. So then I want to take it outside. It's still alive. My mom's like, just throw it outside. Just dump it outside. So I do. I open up my front door. It's dark, by the way, and it's winter. I go to throw the mouse outside, and I realize I have no pants on. I've been doing all of this without pants because I was taking a nap. But I got so I'm wearing shoes and socks, but I've got no pants on. So that was whatever. I didn't care about the neighbors at that point. I throw the mouse out. But it gets caught in the shirt and doesn't go very far. So it goes maybe 2 feet. You've got to be kidding me. I'm not leaving the mouse right there because it's just going to turn around and come right back inside from the cold. So yes, again, no pants. Go outside in my shoes and socks at least. Grab the mouse and then really chuck it across the yard. By that time, it didn't move. In fact, the next morning I came home from work and it was frozen there. So it had died. But yeah, pants are secondary when you need to get a mouse out of the house.
That's why I go with my fire thought. Grab some fire.
All right, just be careful with the fire starters.
Oh.
Yeah, no, a lot of fun.
Gross. Oh.
The great thing about being married is I never have to do that again.
Well, in my case, the great thing about being married is I probably have to do it many times.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope there are no mouse in your house. But I bet your wife would be strong and courageous and brave.
It's stronger than me. Much, much stronger than me with a lot of that.
Nice. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's hope that does not come into play this winter and no one needs those lessons. But I highly recommend a cat because that is the best remedy for a mouse in your house. Did you all hear about what's happening in the commander's house? Again, it seems like they cannot get away from scandal. Though, admittedly, this is not because of their owner or even because of the organization's culture as a whole. But it just blows me away that something like this is happening again with the Washington football team. An employee was caught on video. This is a vice president, the VP of content. He's been with the team for 4 years, so he predates the new ownership. He apparently connected with a reporter, an undercover reporter, on a dating app. Met up with her a couple of times at local restaurants. So they went out on dates. This is going back to the summertime. And he makes all kinds of incendiary comments to this undercover reporter, who then turns around and outs him for it. Now, here's the thing. I don't know whether or not this undercover reporter was on an assignment, but that's what it sounds like. It sounds like either she didn't meet him legit for a date and then realized that this was good stuff and would make for a great story, which is that's kind of crappy. I'm not in any way defending his comments, but that's crappy. This is why you can't trust anyone, especially not people that you meet online. So whether it was that or she was an undercover reporter who thought potentially that this guy might give her material for a story. She videos him. Now, there's no picture, it's only audio, but she gets it on video that he's running his mouth about the organization. And so, I'm not going to repeat the comments he makes, but essentially, he's running his mouth about the team. He's making racist, discriminatory generalizations. He's also making fun of people who are religious. He calls some of the players dumb as hell and said some who are smart don't stay that way after getting hit in the head too many times. He says those who get their heads knocked around a few times are more susceptible to conspiracy theories. He rips Jerry Jones. He also calls Roger Goodell a $50 million puppet. So again, this is a VP in the organization, Rael Entine. And he makes these comments to an undercover reporter who has him on video. I mean, he just dials down, ripping social justice initiatives from the NFL. And he was with the Jets before he got to the Commanders. Again, ripping players on his own roster, players around the league, owners, the commissioner. And he also tells the reporter his job is to sell hope. Calls it state-run media. So yes, for good reason, this VP, who pretty much trashed anyone and everyone, has been suspended by the team. I don't know why not outright fired. That's the part that I can't figure out. Why would you suspend him? Maybe you have to go through a full investigation.
Probably legalese, yeah.
But this social media video was released by the reporter's organization. And he is caught dead to rights. If all they need is voice recognition software, he's caught dead to rights because these are all kinds of recordings. Again, I haven't been able to figure out whether or not the reporter did this as an assignment, although I'm not sure how she would know that. Like, would the team have had to hire someone to try to get him on video? So let's just say, for the sake of argument, the Commanders felt like maybe they were hearing rumors about this guy and how he would talk, but they had no evidence. And the only way to suspend him or fire him was to get the actual audio evidence. Or she just happened to be, because there's no way that you could be sure that the two of them would connect on this dating app. So that would be kind of hard to do, is to set it up that way. And I don't know anything about dating apps really. Hinge is apparently the app, so I'm not sure if women choose. So if she chose him and she was undercover and that's how the whole thing got orchestrated.
You could have did that way, but it's still a process. It's a very probably
yeah,
a long
really
process.
Extensive. So again, I don't know if the team hired the media group or if she just happened to connect with him and was like, wow, this is juicy. But it does identify her as an undercover reporter, which makes it sound like this was actually a story assignment that she was working on, which I think is dirty. Now, it does not in any way excuse him for the comments that he made. I'm not saying that. If you don't want to get fired for incendiary, discriminatory, racist, and inflammatory comments, then don't effing make them. Like, how about that? Don't incriminate yourself by making those kind of comments. And you deserve to be fired. So I don't know why he was only suspended, because the stuff he said was nasty and wrong and just wide prejudice and discrimination. But yeah, I don't know how the whole thing came about. She's not been identified. So that makes me think that this was a setup because they're protecting her name.
Yeah, you know, when you think about it, I could see the team hiring a firm to go and investigate the whole organization because they just inherited an organization that had a lot of problems.
So you mean the new ownership?
The new ownership.
Josh Harris and his new ownership.
I could see them doing that.
Still, though, that is kind of, that's underhanded.
You might need, but look at what was happening with the Commanders. You probably needed to do that to flush out the whole thing. It's like when you buy a home that needs to be renovated. A lot of times you gut it. They're probably gutting through the organization with that stuff.
Well, true, although I don't know that it's necessary to get him on tape. I understand what you're saying, but you're hoping that all these different dominoes fall into place. What if he doesn't want to go out with her? What if they don't have a couple of dates? What if she can't get him talking about work? What if he doesn't say anything? What if her recorder isn't working? Like, there's all these things that would have to fall into place. As opposed to just taking, say, the witness testimony or statements of people who had heard him in the past. So, yeah, I'm not clear on that part, but they do identify her as an undercover reporter, which makes me think that she was doing this on purpose. But, yeah, talk about jumping through a lot of hoops to get this guy to incriminate himself. Again, I don't feel sorry for him. He deserves whatever he gets for these comments if they are, in fact, authentic, and this is him. So I'm only reading them. I haven't heard them, but man, nasty. At A-Law Radio, coming up, we will pivot and we'll get into our first NFL in-season QB news because, you know, we're in season. It's hours away. Thanks for hanging out with us. Good morning to you on your Thursday. It's After Hours with Amy Lauren.
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Dapper from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, L.A.
Burrow back to throw. Looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's got it.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught, touchdown, Kansas City. And off to Eckler again, no, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap, Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Portion of the show brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. It's not available in all states. Are you ready? Our first QB news of the season because they're back, baby.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're all excited to see Caleb Williams, the overall number one pick, the brand new starter for the Chicago Bears. A lot of people with high expectations for him. And so far, he's been able to handle all the pressure. He's been groomed for this, of course. We've known he was going to be a number one pick for a few years now. But what about the emotions on Sunday when the Bears kick off?
When feet touch the grass, it's going to be business as usual. But I probably will take I normally like to, when I run out the stadium, kind of do a little spin in the tunnel when I'm coming out the tunnel, just kind of see the stadium, take it all in and feel the, you know, the energy, the vibe and get going from there. Once I do my spin, get down to the sideline, it's go time.
I'm excited to see him and I'm excited to lean on his teammates, you know, lean in and lean on his teammates because that's what you have to do as a quarterback. You know, he's got guys around him. That have played a lot of years. And again, he's a rookie. So he's just been leaning on those guys and, you know, getting the ball to those guys and let them do their work. We have to do a good job of protecting him. And, but yeah, he's just leaning in and leaning on his teammates.
Matt Eberflus, head coach of the Chicago Bears, as they host the Tennessee Titans week one Sunday. It's a noon Central Time start. So what about the role for the rookie QB?
As long as we get a win, because last time I remembered, the wins are the most important thing. And so as long as we get that win at the end of the day, 100 yards, 400, you know, it all becomes the same.
One of those guys who always seems to say the right thing and absolutely cannot wait to see him in action. A lot of Broncos fans excited about their rookie quarterback. Could he finally be the next franchise QB? Haven't had one since the retirement of Peyton Manning. It's Bo Nix, and he continues to make history as a rookie. Now he is Denver's first rookie captain since the 60s.
It's an honor. It's a privilege. I'm excited to be with this group, excited to be a captain. I don't take it lightly. I know it's a big deal, and it hasn't happened often, but I'm not going to take it for granted. I've got to come to work every single day and just prove that you can be a captain.
You know, that's not something that happens that often. I think, it's something you earn, and these guys, all of them voted on these guys, and it was probably as clean a result that I'd seen in a while.
Sean Payton has never started a rookie quarterback in his tenure as an NFL head coach, so a lot of firsts when it comes to Bo Nix. And the Broncos will be on the road at Lumen Field against the Seahawks to start off the season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. He's not a rookie anymore, but he wowed us as a rookie. C.J. Stroud also named a captain for the first time with the Houston Texans.
It's probably the biggest honor for me, bigger than any accolade, any reward, because it's not, like you said, it's not something that's just given, especially like me being a young guy still, even last year I was kind of surprised, just because like I wanted to be a captain, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't like something like I was forcing. And for them to just kind of like notice it and like want me to be in that role was just an honor and a blessing.
The Texans begin their quest to repeat as AFC South champs against one of their division opponents on the road at the Colts. We'll see Anthony Richardson again. A lot of promise there, but a rookie season cut short. Man, storylines everywhere. Also in the AFC, this one in the West, it's a battle between division opponents as the Raiders, Antonio Pierce, now the head coach, starting Gardner Minshew at QB, will be in SoFi Stadium against the Chargers. Thankfully, their quarterback, Justin Herbert, is back to 100% after 2 weeks in a walking boot.
It's a personal thing that you'd like to keep to yourself, and if it's not something I have to put out there, then I think I'd like to keep that to myself and to the doctors here especially. I think it was just one of those things that I went in, it was getting a little sore, and talked to him about it, there wasn't really one moment that I felt it happen. I came back, got it. I think over the past couple of weeks of being out, I did my best to pick up as much as I could in meetings, be out there in walkthroughs, and do everything I can to not miss a rep. It's definitely tough, but I felt like I was in great care with the staff here.
Interesting to hear from Drew Brees on the Jim Rome Show on the Infinity Sports Network on Wednesday about how Jim Harbaugh and his structure, his culture, will impact Justin Herbert.
The habits that will be developed and what's expected out of you and the way that we're going to do business and the way that we're going to play and prepare and recover and, interact. And I mean, I think all that is going to be very, very clear. To the point where I think that's something that's probably been lacking through the years with the Chargers. And I think from a quarterback's perspective, so much of your preparation is very much that way. And you kind of hope that the rest of the team always kind of follows your lead and that you can set an example for them. Now that you have a head coach who's building a program that is very much like that. I mean, you can call it's college-esque, in that way. I mean, you look at what Harbaugh did at Stanford. You look at what he did at Michigan. It's very regimented, very strong. I think he's bringing that, but in a way that will resonate with this generation of NFL players.
It's good to hear Drew Brees again, future Hall of Famer, on with Jim Rome. Maybe a little more from him coming up. Staying in the AFC, the North Division was the toughest in football last year. All four teams finished above 500, including the Bengals, even though Joe Burrow was nursing an injury and was gone by, late November, early December. But now he's back. Got the blonde hair, and he's hoping that his top wide receiver will be ready to play against the Patriots in week one. Ja'Marr Chase did officially practice on Wednesday.
I saw him out there today. He looks fast, strong, like he always does. I know he's been doing what he needs to do to stay ready if he needs to be ready. So I'm confident that if he does go out there on Sunday, then he'll be the Jamar we all know.
At this point, we're not confirmed. All that Zach Taylor will say is, we'll see, we'll see, we'll see. He even at one point responded to a reporter's question with, well, that's interesting. We'll see. So I guess they don't have any answers. And if they do, they're not sharing them with us. We will see whether or not Jamar Chase plays on Sunday, week one, against the New England Patriots. He was getting advice, though, whether he wanted it or not, from Justin Jefferson, who made an appearance with Kay Adams on Up and Adams. And yeah, he's got maybe a cautionary tale to share with Jamar.
I haven't really talked to him about it too much, but I'm pretty sure or confident that he's going to, you know, be about his business and show up when he needs to show up. And I mean, I hope that he gets the deal and hope that he gets the contract that he's looking for. But I also hope that he plays it smart and not let it get in the way of, you know, his greatness and being on that field.
Justin Jefferson on Up and Adams. Can't wait to see him back on the field, too, though we will not see J.J. McCarthy with the Vikings this year. Lots of teams with new faces, new leadership, of course, new coaches. But there's always that type of jostling in the NFL, which is one of the reasons why we love it. Some teams go up, other teams come down. You can go from worst to first. You can do the exact opposite. We always have surprise teams that end up coming from nowhere, rising like the Phoenix. Will the Bears be one of those? One of my favorite examples is the Indianapolis Colts in the wake of Peyton Manning. They cut him. Of course, they set him free. They let him go where he wanted to after all his neck surgeries. They drafted Andrew Luck number one overall. Remember, they had Chuck Pagano as their head coach that year. And they also had Bruce Arians on the staff, right? And Chuck has to leave the team early in the season because he's dealing with leukemia. So he's going through the treatments for leukemia. He's in touch with the team all the time, but he can't be with them. Bruce is running the team, and they end up didn't they make the playoffs that year? They had this amazing season, the leadership, the spirit, the energy, of course, Andrew Luck, and the entire coaching staff was named Coach of the Year. So yeah, you get those kind of surprise stories every year. I would say last season it was the Houston Texans in the first year with D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud. So good stuff. Always look for it. Half of the NFL playoff bracket turns over every year. It's kind of a fun guessing game. Who will it be this year? At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, we're asking you the top question, the most significant question facing your team as we kick off 2024. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amos, still no resolution on the Jamar Chase situation and if he's going to play Sunday against the Patriots, but Bengals did get some good news. Chase practiced for the first time as he continues his hold-in to get that new deal. Joe Burrow hoping to have his favorite target, but knows he won't miss a beat due to missing camp.
I saw him out there today. You know, he looks fast, strong, like he always does. You know, I know he's been doing what he needs to do to stay ready if he needs to be ready, so I'm confident that if he does go out there on Sunday, then he'll be the Jamar we all know.
Meanwhile, there's been plenty of rumors about the unhappiness of Devontae Adams at the Raiders, including a recent DeSean Jackson claim that Adams is upset. But Adams looking to put all this talk to bed.
If I was pissed off, I mean, I wouldn't be here right now. Like I said, back at my camp, when one of the things somebody here might interview me then. I don't do a lot of the extra stuff and you know, whatever you hear from my mouth is what you get. And I don't think that y'all stand in front of me getting the vibe that I want to leave this place. And if you do, then you just feeding into the that they feeding y'all out there.
Elsewhere, the Broncos and corner Patrick Surtain reportedly agreed to a four-year deal, $96 million, with $77.5 million in guaranteed money. Check in baseball, where the Cubs blanked the Pirates 12-0. Shota Imanaga and two relievers combining on a no-hitter. Imanaga threw 95 pitches, going the first seven with seven strikeouts. Phillies double the Blue Jays 4-2. Kyle Schwarber went deep, tying Alfonso Soriano's record from 2003 with his 13th leadoff homer of the season. Royals topped the Guardians 4-1. Seth Lugo, seven innings of one-run ball. Cardinals survived the Brewers 3-2-10. Braves dismissed the Rockies 5-2. Padres walked it off on the Tigers 6-5-10. Angels rocked the Dodgers 10-1. Mets down the Red Sox 8-3 to push their win streak to 7. Reds plated 9 runs in the first. They pound the Astros 12-5. Diamondbacks erased the Giants 6-4. Mariners dominate the A's 16-3. Rangers outscored the Yankees 10-6. Rays overwhelmed the Twins 9-4. White Sox 8, Orioles 1, and the Marlins outlast the Nationals 4-3-10. U.S. Open, Jessica Pegula ousting top-seeded Iga Swiatek in straight sets. She's into the semis of a Grand Slam for the first time in her career, while Jannik Sinner took out Daniil Medvedev, first U.S. Open semifinals for him as well. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
They're back, baby. It's like Christmas Day. Actually, kind of funny. Saw a question on our post for Ask Amy Anything, part of the Hump Show, where a man named David asked me, what are your holiday plans? And I'm thinking, which holidays? Now, Labor Day just passed. Are we talking Columbus Day, which I don't take off? Are we talking Veterans Day, which I also don't take off? I actually enjoy working Veterans Day, Memorial Day. Thanksgiving? I wasn't sure which holiday. But what I really think he means, what are your plans for this holiday? NFL kickoff. Let's go. Really excited. But can we not call it a rematch of the AFC Championship? Because the teams are not the same. And even if the Ravens beat the Chiefs in Kansas City, which happened a couple of years ago, right, with the Lions. Actually, just happened last year. Feels like forever ago. But it was just last year, right, that the Chiefs lost to the Lions in the opener. Yeah, it was kind of the signal that the Lions have arrived. Anyway, even if it happens, it doesn't change anything. The Ravens still lost in the AFC Championship. And so that is tough, of course. But this is their opportunity for redemption. Do you love a good redemption story? It's funny because as we see all the accolades and the records, even in her rookie year, pile up for Caitlin Clark, I hear what she had to say about, yeah, no one cares about that stuff. And I was going to talk about it next hour. But yeah, she makes the point that winning is what they're out there for. It's not about the personal accolades, which I think is one reason why her Iowa teammates and now her Fever teammates love to play with her, because she's got her priorities in order.
Everything besides team success, like, that all just comes with when your team wins. Like, you got to win to have all that on the side, and nobody really cares about that. you know, people can talk about it. It is what it is. For me, like, it's fun winning basketball games. It's fun walking off the court and the crowd's going crazy because, you know, you just won and you played a good game. So for me, like, that's where my main focus is. And I think when I do that, everything else comes along with it.
It definitely does. She has the gift. She's figured out a way to not only incorporate her teammates, to get her teammates involved, which makes them a more balanced team, of course, but to push the tempo. That's what they want to do as a club, is to push the tempo. But also, she raises the level of play of everyone else around her, and it's not that different than a great quarterback. I mean, Steph Curry does this as a point guard, and he's not the only one, but I do often compare the trajectory of Steph's career to Caitlin's. And while we have a lot more to see with Caitlin, will the championships be there? Will the numbers continue year after year to be gaudy for Caitlin? Well, that remains to be seen. But I remember the beginning of Steph's career and going back to Davidson, where he was this skinny little shooter. And that's what people thought he was about. He might hook on as a pretty nice shooter in the league and have a role. This is a loose analogy, but thinking about J.J. Redick, who's now the coach of the Lakers, right? His job was to shoot threes. Not that he never handled the ball, not that he couldn't do other things in the basketball court, but they had people for that. When Steph came into the league, he was the skinny kid from Davidson whose dad played in the NBA, who could shoot the lights out from anywhere on the court. And the first couple of years, he dealt with foot injuries. He was little. He was getting just bruised and battered by bigger, tougher, more physical guards in the league. And he figured out a way to not only have great handles and to play a modicum of defense, but to run the offense in a way that it wasn't just about him shooting. It was about getting everyone else involved. And yeah, his meteoric rise to popularity coming out of Davidson was because of the success in the NCAA tournament. In March Madness, it really put him on the map. Same thing with Caitlin. For 2 years, just like Steph's last 2 years at Davidson, the spotlight has been on her. Yes, the shooting. Yes, the scoring. But she also led the NCAA women's basketball in assists last season. And that's how she's tearing up the league. But even so, the Fever started out 1-8 and then went 3-10. And people were blasting her. All she can do is shoot. She's not going to be anything special. Of course, she was getting a lot of attention, getting roughed up herself in the WNBA by stronger defenders, players with more experience who'd been around a long time and kind of knew how to work it, so to speak. But to use that physical play that you're allowed in the WNBA, it's different than college. And that's great. That's what veterans are supposed to do. You don't want to give her anything easy. But now here she is. She's adjusted. She's figured out, not that she isn't still learning, but she's figured out the style. She's figured out how to make the style at the pro level work to her advantage. And she's making everyone else a part of what the Fever are doing. And so she's right. What matters is winning. The fun is in winning. And for her, if the team is winning, that does mean that all of these other records and accolades come along with. So she was just named both the Rookie of the Month and the Player of the Month for August in the Eastern Conference, which I think is kind of funny considering there's only 12 teams. So, yay. But yeah, she likes where they are right now. They've clinched the playoffs. They're 2 games above 500. They've won 5 in a row. They're 7-1 since the Olympic break. I mean, all of this is because of who she is as the, well, not all of it. A lot of it is because she's the quarterback and is in a good spot after a couple of months of just working it out.
I'm just thankful. I feel like I'm surrounded by really good people, really good coaches, really good teammates that allow me to be myself and set me up for success and, you know, have a lot of fun playing with me. So I've enjoyed every single second of it. And, you know, I think we're just going to continue to get better.
Of course, there's still plenty of talk about how she's the only one people pay attention to and how the rest of the WNBA doesn't want her. Charles Barkley, he's the latest on the Bill Simmons podcast, ripping the rest of the league for screwing with her.
These ladies, and I'm a WNBA fan, they cannot have this Caitlin Clark thing up any worse if they try. People believe what we say on television. Just because people don't like you or your personality, they can't get on TV and slander you. It's just total bullshit. This girl is incredible. The number of attention, eyeballs, she's brought to college and the pros. And for these women to have this petty jealousness, you say to yourself, damn, what is going on here? And the thing I love about her, she never says a word. But these ladies who I love and respect their game, they couldn't have f***ed this thing up any worse.
Charles Barkley doesn't hold back ever. He calls the WNBA as a league petty and jealous of Caitlin Clark on the Bill Simmons podcast. I don't know if that's pot calling the kettle black. However, he does double down. He loves to watch. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.